folks. Third hour is on. This is War Room Live. I'm just seeing reports 22 minutes ago from Megatron on X. Massive explosions across Iran. U.S. has started attacking again. Of course, we know the war in the Middle East is nowhere close to over because Israel hasn't gotten what it wants yet. So the idea of this ceasefire becoming a real tangible peace deal was always a bit of a wish, not actually happening. Netanyahu announces Turkey next military target as they certainly continue to expand this war against our NATO ally, Turkey. We'll have to get into that in just a second, but I do want to talk a little bit about surveillance first. We're going to go to clip number 15 here. Flock cameras continue to be a major point of contention, which, once again, it's nice having, like, foundational American values where it's like just anything that comes up, you just put it to, like, the Constitution, and you just go, oh, flock cameras, permanent surveillance grid without a warrant spying on you constantly? The answer is no. It's pretty simple. See, I get confused when it comes to leftists who they love censoring people until they get censored. Then they are suddenly all for free speech. They love surveilling people until it's them being surveilled. And suddenly they demand privacy. Like Klaus Schwab apparently just filed a complaint in Geneva because he found a listening device in his house. And it's like, What happened to you don't need privacy? What happened to you'll have no privacy and you'll be happy? What happened to that, fella? Like, I don't get it. I don't get the, you know, decision when to apply concern and when not to, when you actually care about free speech and when you don't. See, when you're actually principled and you actually just like free speech, like the truth, dislike surveillance, it's very easy to just understand what stance to take immediately. It's got to be confusing for leftists who are completely in favor of censorship to suddenly like have to be making the argument that they shouldn't be censored. Where are the fundamental values that you adhere to? You don't have any, which is why you're easily manipulatable. Let's go now to this video. Somebody who took down flock cameras now facing 18 years in prison. Let's watch.
Case in Rio Rancho where license plate reader cameras were destroyed, then replaced with a flag. Police say the man behind the crime cost the city thousands in damages. News 13's Bianca Hoops has that video.
A series of vandalized cameras have Rio Rancho police questioning who did it.
So that's what our ALPRs were, the license plate reader. Someone stole the reader and replaced it with this flag. We had the same thing happen yesterday off of Metalwork.
When did they do that?
I have no idea.
In May, Rio Rancho police found at least three flock cameras, also known as license plate readers, destroyed. The solar panels attached to them were stolen. Then a flag was hung on top of the camera poles.
Is there a reason why they're doing this? Do you guys have an idea?
I think it's somebody who doesn't like license plate readers.
Within days of the investigation, police pull over a truck that matched the description of the car tied to the flock camera incidents. In the car, they find multiple flags that were similar to the ones in the vandalized cases. The driver, 44-year-old Jovan Martinez, was arrested for an unrelated warrant and has since then been released. Police say Martinez admitted to the vandalism when they asked about the flags, and he even took videos on his phone every time.
Oh, look at my work, gentlemen. So all these cameras popping around, the flock cameras, they are not ours. Look at that.
Then, within a week, Rio Rancho police got a warrant to look out for some of the missing equipment at Martinez's home, even bringing in a SWAT team because of his criminal history, including assault.
Because I'm missing three solar panels and one flock panel.
Like I said, I threw him in the trash or put him on the side.
He's a patriot. He's a patriot. He's doing God's work. And he deserves to be free. We'll be right back with more.
The globalists are collapsing worldwide, but they're fighting back with tyranny, censorship, and more. And they have targeted my operation more than anybody else's. But that's okay. That means we're over the target. It means we're effective. And I couldn't have done any of this without you. All the success of my operation through the listeners, the viewers, your word of mouth, your support, and, of course, the great crew. And that's why I want to just thank you all as America approaches its 250th anniversary. We have to understand they're trying to demoralize us, trying to break our will. We can't let them do that. It's the globalists that are losing. We're actually winning. So, to celebrate America's 250th anniversary, we're launching the biggest sale in the history of thealexjonesstore.com. Buy one, get one free, ultramethylene blue. Buy one, get one free, bovine colostrum. Buy one, get one free, Shilajit Complex. So incredible. And up to 60% off on all the other supplements, 50% off on all the Patriot apparel, limited issue, 250th anniversary, and more. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we stay on the air and celebrate our American Republic, the globalist hate.
Who took the bomb?
All right, welcome back, folks. Third hour is on War Room Live. I'm going to open up the phone for your calls this hour. The number to dial is 512-266-0642. That's 512-266-0642. We are live on this Tuesday, the 7th of July, 2026. And if you're watching me live, give me a call, 512-266-0642, and we're taking your calls now. Now, interestingly, the controversy about flock cameras is going both ways. We just saw a video of a guy cutting down flock cameras in their solar panels and getting arrested for it. Apparently facing 18 years in prison for destroying this, which is entirely unacceptable. I mean, talk about cruel and unusual punishment. But they want to send a message. They want to teach a lesson. They don't want you destroying these flock cameras because they have important things they want to do with them, like enslave you forever. So we can't have you fighting back against it. Now, I'll say, if you're destroying flock cameras, the thing you should probably realize is that flock cameras are surveillance nodes, and you need to probably do a lot to cover your identity if you're going up and destroying them, which I would never encourage, but do morally support. Yeah, I think that works. Five Georgia officers fired, arrested for misusing access to city's flock cameras, GBI says. So this just broke at about 11 a.m. today. Five Georgia police officers have been fired and are facing charges after authorities say they misused their access to the city's flock safety system. In a release posted on Facebook, the Albany Police Department said the actions were taken after an internal audit of the license plate reader camera systems led to the discovery of serious policy violations by the officers. License plate reader systems are designed to support legitimate public safety operations, including identifying vehicles, et cetera, et cetera. According to the juror, to the GBI, the internal audit revealed the officers accessed the systems on multiple occasions using the license plate data for non-law enforcement purposes. The agency did not share specifics about what the data was allegedly used for. After the audit, the police department said it fired the five officers and contacted the GBI, which arrested and charged them with misuse of license plate data in violation of their oath of office on Monday. They've been identified as 27-year-old Titiana Davis, 32-year-old Jade Jackson, 30-year-old Nicholas Richardson, 23-year-old Brittany Smith, and 24-year-old Isaac Whitus. Well, no comment on that. How do you stop them misusing it? You can't. It's available to them at any point. See, typically you would have to go get a warrant to do surveillance on people, but the flock cameras circumvent that somehow. They just do. They just provide the access to the officers and don't worry about a warrant. So there you go. I have the feeling that this is going to run into, like, this is going to be a Supreme Court case pretty soon. Because if an officer doesn't get a warrant, if they just decide to break into your house and find something, you can have that thrown out in court. You can say, you know, or if they don't read your Miranda rights, you can get your confession thrown out. Like, there are these laws in place for a reason. So it's just going to be a matter of time before somebody gets busted on flock and challenges the very existence, let alone the applicability or, you know, ability to use as evidence in a courtroom things that were gathered without a warrant in violation of the Fourth Amendment. It's just a matter of time. And I think Flock is going to lose this. So they're just trying to get it done quickly and just make it, you know, something that everybody just assumes has been vetted, assumes has legal standing when in fact it doesn't. But we should all be concerned about the access that these untrustworthy police have to this type of technology. But it's absolutely everywhere. And again, this is the problem with people not understanding fundamentally the value of the Bill of Rights and our Constitution and the protection that it provides us, theoretically, if it's applied correctly. In 2027, your car will spy on you and hackers can take full control. Starting in 2027, every new car sold in America is required by federal law to have always-on cameras staring at your face. There's no way to turn it off, no opt-out, tamper-resistant. These cameras watch your eyes, head, and every move 24/7. The car can judge if you're impaired and stop you from driving. Here's the nightmare. Hackers can steal your data and remotely hijack your car. Imagine somebody taking control of your wheel while your family's inside, all your private moments recorded, your location, your biometrics, everything. They're turning your personal vehicle into a rolling surveillance device you can't escape, and they're handing hackers the keys. This isn't safety, it's dystopia. Wake up before it's too late. Too late. We've got to stop this stuff before it gets implemented. Meanwhile, court filing reveals Windows device ID helped FBI trace alleged scattered spider hacker. U.S. prosecutors linked an alleged scattered spider hacker to a break-in at a luxury jewelry retailer using a persistent Windows device ID, according to newly unsealed federal complaint. Microsoft records tied that ID first to the account of the attackers used to keep access during the May 2025 intrusion, then online accounts prosecutors say belong to 19-year-old Peter Stokes. Stokes is charged with conspiracy, computer intrusion, and fraud. A dual U.S.-Estonian citizen known online as Bouquet. He was extradited from Finland and made his first court appearance in Chicago on June 30th. But basically, they could not track him through his IP. They couldn't track him through his, you know, Google Voice or Amazon accounts. But eventually, they did help track him down with this Microsoft Google device identifier, which Microsoft describes as a persistent identifier tied to a single Windows installation, one that survives operating system updates but changes when Windows is reinstalled. They showed the device visited the NGROK signup page at 1921 UTC on May 12, 2025, the same minute the NGROK account was used, and reached the retailer's website through the same proxy about 3 hours later. So essentially, again, this is one of the first times that this method of identification has been used to punish a crime, and essentially reveals that the ability for the authorities to use your device to identify you is largely unbeatable, and you have to take extraordinary measures to get around it. But just so you know, whether it's your car or your cell phone or your computer, you are being tracked continuously, your TV and anything else that they can put a microphone or a camera system on is going to be used to spy on you. And the only way to undo this is to use the power of the government to stop corporations from complying to illegal requests from law enforcement. But without the government involved in this, it's the corporations run amok. Now we are going to go out to your calls, 512-266-0642. We'll go first to Emmett in Seattle. Wants to talk about the cultural vandalism we're being subjected to. Go ahead, Emmett. You're on the air.
Afternoon, Harrison.
Hello.
You hear me?
I hear you. Go ahead.
Afternoon, Harrison. Just vibing with your waxing poetic on the Iliad and the Odyssey and this atrocious treatment that it's been given. And it reminded me of that scene in there's several scenes in V for Vendetta where V's little hideout is just completely decked out with all these classic pieces of artwork and bookshelf upon bookshelf of just beautiful literature. And that kind of inspired me when I started catching wind of the way that they were trying to Google's digitizing, you know, every library they could get their hands on in an attempt to, as these books go out of print, and and then they just have the only digital copy, and then they're free to delete that from existence at will.
And they do that. This is a weird thing. I know Anthropic is doing it too. They're buying up like libraries worth of books, scanning them digitally, and then they destroy the books, which I don't understand how that would be necessary. They're basically just like, yeah, we just don't have room to store the books. So once we scan them, we burn them. And it's like, that seems incredibly dangerous. So yeah, they're obviously doing that. You know, I'd forgotten about that scene from V for Vendetta. What it makes me think of is like, you know, Brave New World, how the masters of the world, whatever they call them, the world controllers, they have access to Shakespeare and the Odyssey, and they have access to all of this, you know, to them, ancient antique material, but it's kept away from all the people. Yeah, it's an interesting, that's an interesting, you know, line to draw, Emmett. I hadn't thought about that.
But I just want to, you know, encourage the audience, because as I started getting into this habit, I started like stopping by estate sales, and I always find myself drifting over towards the book stack from these boomers that are passing away. And it's like, man, every single time I find like at least three or four books that are 100 years old or older.
Yeah.
And I also buy a copy of every single title that Jay Dyer mentions, either on his channel or when he comes on the Fourth Hour. And I just keep running out of space on my bookshelves. But as a bit of investment advice to the audience, like every once in a while, I run into a book that's out of print and can't be just bought on Amazon anymore. Or if it is listed on Amazon, it's like $300, $500.
Oh, yeah.
The most expensive one I've seen is like $1,300, The Devil's Chemists. That's one that Alex recommended. And it's like, holy smokes. And if I get the chance to walk into one of these estate sales and pay 50 cents or, you know, $2 for this old dusty book that nobody gives a damn about, I can turn that into a $300, you know, come up out of just a casual Sunday afternoon strolling through an old house. And so I'd really like to encourage the audience to take up that habit just for their own, not only for the preservation of the culture, but also for their own financial well-being or whatever. We are all about gold and silver, but we got to get those books.
You know, that's such a good idea. And I haven't done it, you know, purposely like that, but absolutely. I've been to some estate sales. I got a like brand new wrapped in the plastic version of The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire. And yeah, it would cost me like thousands of dollars online. I'm pretty sure I got it for less than a dollar. So you go to estate sales, people have no idea the value of the books that they're selling, and you can seriously clean up. That is absolutely true.
That's really quick.
Yeah.
This new water filter you guys are selling, you know, it looks absolutely amazing, but I can't find the replacement filter cartridges on the store.
Hmm.
And so just a tip for Bigly, like people are going to want those replacement cartridges right now. And some of people are preppers like me and want to get a few sets of those replacement filters on the shelf ready to go. So that would be a product recommendation or request that I would try to get them to jump on as quick as possible. And for the new shower head too, I imagine that takes a cartridge inside, all filters plug up. But hopefully the replacement cartridge filters are for the shower head and for the drinking water filter are come on the store soon. So I can get a bunch of them.
Yeah, you should be able to. I'm not sure where we'd sell those, but yeah, absolutely. That's a good point. I'm not sure where you get replacement filters. I do know with the water filters, like we've had our water filter for like years and the filters are still, you know, totally good. I mean, some of these things can go through, because I was doing the math one time and I was like, when do I have to replace this? And it was like, I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was something like 80,000 gallons. And I was like doing the math and I was like, I'm not going to have to replace this for 5 or 10 years. Like some of the filters are really good. I know the shower filter says to replace every 3 months. I do about every 6 months, but certainly you get the filters and, you know, have them for months, if not years, before you need a replacement. So don't let that be a reason not to buy this stuff, but that is a good point. And I'm sure there's a way. I'll just have to find out. I'll have to get with the Bigly guys and find out where to get the replacements. But certainly the water filter and the incredible massive shower filter do have filters that can be replaced, and you can get the replacements. I'm sure you can get them from us. I'm just not sure exactly where. But go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to make your purchase, and you can at least have a couple of months to find the replacement filters wherever you need them. And I'm sure we'll have them available soon if we don't already. Thank you so much for the call, Emmett. Really appreciate that. Great points. Let's go now to Sean in California. Let's talk about flock cameras and how one might disable them in a theoretical context. Go ahead, Sean. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. I've noticed that some of these cameras, I haven't seen if it's been tried with flock cameras yet, but a lot of cameras, if you are wearing like a headlamp, amazingly, the glare off of a headlamp or a headlight, you know, like miner's caps or just little, you know, things you wear when you're bicycling, have a knack for, countering facial recognition. I'm not saying that you should be doing that because there are bad people who listen to this advice as well as good. But my bigger thought, Harrison, on disabling these is disabling the people who vote them in to be put into the city in the first place. A lot of times you find out there's contractors that, you know, they give a little kickback to somebody at the board of supervisors or the city council. So it would be interesting if people were actually go get the voting records of who voted aye and who voted nay, and then put those people on the spot. You know, are they incompetent, belligerent towards their constituencies, or do they need to be taught the Constitution? Because everything about this mass surveillance violates their oaths of office. I'm pretty sure even down to local city police, it violates their oaths of office as well. You know, it's one of those things like the ring and the Lord of the Rings or the Palantir stones. It sounds great because you can catch some bad guys, but then it can be abused or even manipulated to frame somebody up, or as you pointed out moments ago, you know, possibly getting into people's vehicles and hacking them through their vehicles. So what do you think, Harrison? Should people be going and actually demanding that their people who vote for these things actually answer them why they voted for them versus just, you know, forgetting about it?
Absolutely. And you have to remember that you can't just, you know, have your city no longer, you know, having a contract with Flock. Once the cameras are up, the cameras basically stay up until they're taken down by the city. So you can't just say, hey, we don't want any more of these, or we don't want our police to have access to the Flock cameras. You have to actually get them to take them down. For them not to be accessible by, you know, people possibly with not your best interests in mind. So, yeah, absolutely. And it's like the video that we played yesterday, and you had the Flock spokesperson saying, you know, it's not our fault these are misused. You know, the oversight has to come from the city council. Well, they're the ones who the buck stops with. And, you know, the other thing to understand is that Flock cameras are in absolutely no way necessary to do anything that they claim to do. You can easily find bad guys without a massive surveillance grid across your entire country. I mean, look at El Salvador. They somehow reclaimed their country from the murder capital of the world to one of the safest, never used Flock cameras to do it. So this is another one of these things where they create the conditions of chaos and crime and misery, and then the solution they offer is no solution at all. It's also not necessary, and it has all these negative side effects that come along with it. So absolutely, you got to go to your city council and demand that they take these things down, but more importantly, demand that they never implement them in the first place. And remember, Flock is not the only company that does this. Flock is particularly bad with what they do in terms of allowing access to everybody, or staying up even though the city's no longer paying for the contract. There are other companies that don't do that sort of stuff, but Flock is trying to corner the market. So that would be another thing to ask the city council is, what other companies did you consider outside of Flock? Why did Flock get the contract over these other, you know, companies? What did they offer that the other companies didn't? Because it was probably a kickback scheme to the city council members, if I had to guess. And this is another thing where, is this even a left-right thing? I think people on the left would be just as outraged about the mass surveillance, especially knowing, you know, or thinking like they do, that the Trump administration is this tyrannical, you know, whatever, Nazi government. It's like, aren't you against them having permanent surveillance on every corner? Shouldn't you be against that? Just like, shouldn't everybody be against the destruction of our waterways for the benefit of data corporations that can only possibly use the technology they're building to surveil and enslave you? Everybody should be against this, and it should all be predicated on basic constitutional American values. That's the argument. So yeah, I absolutely agree, Sean. Fantastic stuff. Let's go now to Gabrielle in Maine. Gabrielle, you are on the air. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi. Thank you so much for taking my phone call.
Great. Absolutely.
So Great. So I wanted to talk about what's going on with Trump lately and other people in the government, and how most people have been saying, what's wrong with Trump? What happened to Dan Bongino? What happened to Pam Bondi? Like, why all these people seem to all of a sudden change out of nowhere? And I know this is going to sound crazy, but it's true. And Jesse Beltran from My Nexus, who is on Redacted, talking about this same issue. And they were all saying, well, yeah, this could possibly, you know, be happening to our elected officials. And if that were to happen, we'd all be in serious trouble. Well, I'm a targeted individual. I've been being targeted since April 6th of 2022. And what I've seen in that amount of time, I just, you know, constantly trying to learn what this is, how to keep myself safe, and what sort of technology they're using against me, right? They can basically tap into people. Like, even Noah Harari says we're all hackable humans, but the technology, even Jesse Beltran has said, is that they can basically just tap into people, but no one's really saying it as a, this is real. And I'm here to say it is real. I've seen it happen around me since my targeting started. And so whenever people are like, what happened to Trump? And I'm like, I have the answer. I'm like, have my hand up going, I have the answer. Like, they can remotely tap into people and just basically start talking through that person. I know it sounds like complete sci-fi, but it's true. I've seen it happen. And I've had people, I've had, you know, my predators mock back at me through someone else saying stuff to me or saying exactly the same thing over and over to all these different people. It is programmable remotely, and I think that's what's happening to our elected officials, and I think it's being done by Israel. That's my best guess here of why it's all our whole system and government and country is being offered up to them on a silver platter, because somehow they stole that technology and now they're using it against us.
Well, what would that feel like to the person being subjected to it? Because the thing that doesn't make sense to me is that I could understand how you could do that momentarily, but like, what would that experience be like for the person that's having it done to them? Like, do they know what they were saying? Are they compelled to say, and they think it was their own choice? They don't even know that they're being controlled. And like, if you have somebody like Dan Bongino or Trump, like, I could understand how you could manipulate them through radio waves to a certain degree, but then would you have to do that continually every day for the rest of their lives? Otherwise, they'd wake up and say, I'm being controlled. Like, how would that work?
So it's not like that. I haven't seen that. I've seen that, you know, once they have, like, it's like everyone has a different signal that they can be tracked by, right? It's your electronic signal that comes from the top of your head, which is how they track everybody. Right. So they could just tap into that remotely and they can whenever they want to. You know what I mean? So I haven't, like my mom or other people or the people who run my apartment complex and my next door neighbors. It's not all the time. Mm-hmm. It's only when they want to terrorize me or to smear me or to cause me any sort of inconvenience and or try to get me kicked out of my apartment. Like, it's a constant thing, but it's not. I mean, they're always, you know, constantly trying to ruin my life, but I don't see it as they're constantly in control of the other person. And I don't think that.
Well, it's.
They don't. I don't think that.
Thank you for the call, Gabriel. I'm sorry we have to go to commercial break, but look, the thing is, the turn of the Trump administration is so inexplicable. I'm not ruling anything out.
And a microscopic tag being planted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here, is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Colin saying 21 years ago that, oh yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha ha ha, wonder to put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away, not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more, scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting that at the, you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health, what it's done is absolutely insane. Get masterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, getmasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to getmasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatic when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. Getmasterpiece.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
All right, folks, welcome back. We'll go out to your phone calls again shortly, but I want to play another video talking about another major threat to privacy and the ability to speak freely in Europe. Let's go to clip number 19. The UK government has something called chat control. In fact, the whole EU is attempting to extend controversial chat control rules in which they will scan your messages before they're even sent. Let's go now to clip number 19. The UK wants to monitor everything you send. Let's watch.
Term for this is client-side scanning, in which mobile phones have to monitor everything you send and everything you receive on your phone. And the government say they only want to introduce this to prevent the sharing of child sexual content. But it would be very naive if we imagined that that scope won't be increased over time and that governments won't use this to censor what people are saying about them.
And they want to make it harder for people to get VPNs, virtual private networks, so they'll be aligning themselves with China, North Korea and Russia in that regard. And now they want to make all social media discussions on elections subject to the crazy Ofcom rules we have for discussing them on channels like this.
And that is, I think, deeply sinister, Jacob, because what does it mean? It means that they want to control what people are actually saying on social media. I mean, that's what they're proposing to regulate. So, you know, it would be as if treating each individual posting on X or Facebook or Instagram as if they were a broadcaster. So unless they're balanced, unless they give an audience to both sides, unless they approach something in an impartial way, presumably their content would be censored. I mean, that's Soviet levels of censorship.
Well, the problem is you get this device scanning and you then get rules saying that you can't put things up on elections. And before you know where you are, unless you put the full list of candidates standing in the next by-election, your post doesn't go up.
And it wouldn't just apply. I can't see why it would only apply to UK citizens posting on social media platforms, because that, after all, isn't the content. It's not. That's not just the content you see when you go on social media. So presumably it would also apply to overseas citizens, including US citizens. And I imagine Donald Trump and J.D. Vance would have something to say about that.
I would hope so. I would hope they would. The European Parliament is set to extend controversial legislation titled Chat Control this week in fast-track proceedings, despite the privacy backlash related to end-to-end encrypted communications. Under the extension of this rule, the technologies company would be allowed to read all messages and online communication for child sexual abuse material. This time, the extension is likely to occur under different voting rules, leading to an easy approval of these controversial rules. Martin Sonneborn, member of the European Parliament, who's a vocal critic of this legislation, posts on X, "I tried to stop the chat control today, stating, Madam President, pursuant to Article 22, you oversee this body of rules," waving to the printed rules of procedure, "declare the urgent motion inadmissible. After all, we're not in Malta here. I'd be happy to hand you the current version of the rules of procedure in person in the MEP bar." I believe he was... There's somebody, we don't need to play the video, but because he's speaking in German, you can't actually understand it. But there's somebody objecting to this in the EU, and they just cut off his mic and don't let him actually object to it. The legislation was earlier expired on April 3rd, allowing platforms like WhatsApp and Messenger to voluntarily bypass e-privacy protections to detect child sex abuse material. Later in March, European Parliament rejected a proposal from the EU Commission asking for extended measures. And again, it's could not be more obvious. They just want to silence their own people. They want to crush opposition to their policies by silencing people speaking out against their policies. It's not complicated. They will dress it up as child sex abuse material or whatever else they feel is a valid excuse for surveilling and controlling the speech of their citizens. But at the end of the day, there's just no justification for this whatsoever, especially not when you compare the effects of the EU migration program to the child sex abuse rate in Europe. They do not care about the thing they claim to care about. They just want to surveil in order to control you. It's not complicated, really. Now, we do have some breaking news. That's not exactly surprising, but it is annoying. It's very upsetting. U.S. resumes powerful strikes on Iran after tanker attacks. U.S. Central Command said the action was a response to quote-unquote unwarranted aggression in the Strait of Hormuz. The U.S. announced a new round of strikes on Iran after several tankers were targeted while transiting the Strait of Hormuz. Iranian media reported explosions in the early hours of Wednesday in the southern province of Hormozgan, including at the ports of Bandar Abbas and Sirik, as well as Kashim Island, close to the narrowest section of the strait. U.S. Central Command CENTCOM said it was conducting a series of powerful strikes against Iran to impose heavy costs for targeting and attacking commercial shipping crewed by innocent civilians in an international waterway. The U.S. strikes are in response to Iranian attacks on three commercial vehicles that were transiting the Strait of Hormuz. Iran's demonstrated aggression was unwarranted, dangerous, and a clear violation of the ceasefire, CENTCOM said on a statement on X. So it appears as though the supposed ceasefire, the mythological, the fantasy peace agreement that was supposed to be the next step of this process is farther and farther away. Now, this is a little bit confusing because the world economy requires that the Strait of Hormuz be opened, and disaster awaits if this conflict continues for any length of time. Really, already it's probably too late to totally undo some of the worst effects, but could get a lot worse if this conflict goes on. And of course, Trump has been tricked into all of this. Again, whether is he controlled by radio waves? I don't know. But I know that he was promised that this would be a one and done. We'll bomb the regime and then the rest of them will collapse like dominoes. That was a lie. It was only supposed to happen for like 4 days and it became 4 weeks. It's been a disaster the entire time where they're constantly blaming Israel and then claiming not to blame Israel for getting them into it. And then every time we get an off-ramp, Israel kills the negotiators. They tried to do that again last week, and the Trump administration had to actually warn the Iranian negotiators to be careful because they were about to be assassinated by Israel. Trump obviously wanted this conclusion to be successful, was out celebrating it and bragging about having won the contest, and, you know, we've got this ceasefire, and they're bending the knee, and they're begging for, you know, peace. And then Israel says, but we're not adhering to the Lebanese aspect. It's just been a disaster this entire time, entirely because of Israel and Trump's unwillingness or inability to deny them anything. So it looks like it's back on. The U.S. is bombing the hell out of Iran. Three commercial vehicles were struck by projectiles earlier on Tuesday, according to the Maritime Security Agency of the UK military. And if we go back in time, the U.S. is revoking Iran's newly issued general license to export oil and reimpose full sanctions on production and sales after Iran struck four commercial vehicles in the Strait of Hormuz today. Per U.S. official, the U.S. says Iran's latest actions are wholly unacceptable and will be met with consequences. A source close to Iran's Ghalibaf says the likelihood of conflict in the coming hours is serious following the U.S. revocation of Iran's oil waivers, and Iran is set to intensify its crackdown on the Strait of Hormuz. The source calls the U.S. action a blatant violation of the MOU, adding that prospects for negotiation on a final agreement are now very bleak. Loud explosions heard on Kesham Island, Bandar Abbas, and Sirik near the Strait of Hormuz in southern Iran, with initial reports of U.S. conducting strikes. U.S. military has begun launching a series of powerful strikes against Iran in response to Iran's attacks on commercial vessels in the Strait of Hormuz, per CENTCOM. The U.S. has struck the IRGC fast boats at Sirik port on Iran's southern coast with boats on fire, and a massive airstrike in Bandar Abbas, southern Iran, with a large glow seen. So maybe we nuked them. I don't know. But they're saying U.S. strikes in Iran are punishment, not proportional, and won't be over for a while. U.S. targets include Iranian air defense systems, coastal surveillance systems, surface-to-air missiles, anti-ship, cruise missile sites, drone launch sites, and port facilities. So, again, it looks like the war is back on because, damn it, Israel has to kill everybody in Lebanon. And if we have to crush the world economy to get that done, that's a sacrifice that Trump is willing to make, okay? Because God forbid that Israel ever have to moderate its expansive ambition even a little bit. Remember, that's what this is all about. This is all so that Israel can have freedom of action to murder Lebanese people and suffer no consequences. That's the purpose of this. That's the reason we're doing all of this. That's the reason that we're now once again delving into our stockpile to punish the Iranians for merely defending the people of Lebanon. Mark Levin says, the major reason Benjamin Netanyahu is constantly attacked in our country, but oh my God, who cares? I'm not even reading this. Who cares? The reason he's being attacked is because he's a despicable mass murderer who should go to hell. That's the reason. I don't need to read about Mark Levin's retarded Jewish interpretation of what is obvious and apparent to absolutely everybody that's not a despicable liar like him, okay? It's very simple. You people are insufferable. You are endlessly causing the biggest problems in the history of the world. Israel is a cancerous mass of psychotic morons that are dragging America around by the nose because of our thoroughly corrupt ruling class. And one of these days, we'll just be done with you and the world can just go back to living in peace and comfort once again without the interminable, endless destruction of Israel, constantly killing everybody, constantly violating every single thing they can. Like, it's not even like violating agreements and humanitarian concerns and basic human rights, just violating everything endlessly for their own greedy ambition so they can conquer more land around them so they can continue to kill Arabs with impunity. You're just a bunch of despicable scumbag genocidal maniacs, and I'm sick of our country being in hawk to you. It's enough already, enough. Like, how long is this going to go on? Can we just get in a line? Please, for the love of God, just turn Israel into ash and let the rest of the world go back to peace and prosperity and cooperation. Can we, is there, what is the barrier? What is the problem here? This is so simple. Literally everybody in the world except for them agrees. Why are they the ones to win this argument? It's nonsense. By the way, I'm not just saying that. Like, Israel approves new illegal settlements will further isolate East Jerusalem and deepen its unlawful occupation. Israel approves plans to establish 13 new illegal settlements in occupied Palestinian territories, and yet another example of the abhorrent and utter disregard of the international rules-based order by Israel. This forms another troubling development in the rapid deterioration situation on the ground in the occupied Palestinian territories, which calls for urgent and substantive measures by all states. The approved Binyamin plan is yet another attempt to further fragment Palestinian territory and isolate East Jerusalem from its surrounding Palestinian communities. It is situated along Route 60, the central north-south artery running through the West Bank that links Palestinian cities, including Nablus, Ramallah, and Bethlehem, while also connecting major Israeli settlements. Israel approves 13 illegal settlements as Palestinians warn over occupied East Jerusalem isolation. Yeah, well, they're not going to stop till somebody stops them. They don't care. They don't care about humanity. They don't care about how they look on the world stage. If you're not actively killing them, they're going to keep doing whatever they're doing. So it's just, again, interminable. Like, why? Why are we doing this? What is the benefit for America? And how is it that every single contradictory, newly made up excuse for why the war in Iran had to be fought, why have they all collapsed and nobody seems to change their perspective? Like, how many times was I called an idiot for not understanding that we are taking Iran's oil? It was a brilliant move to, you know, outcompete China. It's nonsense excuses do you have to come up with before you admit this is also Israel has freedom of action in Lebanon to kill a bunch of innocent people, including a massive amount of Christians that have been there since the day that Jesus walked the earth. It's just exhausting, isn't it? Isn't this exhausting, having to deal with this forever, despite the fact that we have our own insurmountable problems to deal with, incredible existential crises, multiple of them tearing us apart from the inside out, and yet all of our energy and all of our effort is dedicated to ensuring that Israel gets to kill children with impunity? I guess we should go to some videos so I don't seem like I'm just insane and rambling here. I mean, should we go to some videos? Should we go to videos of, testimony of people like doctors who were there investigating the site of Palestinian hospitals where they found dozens of children with their hands tied behind their back and gunshot wounds to their heads buried in a mass grave? Should we look at the bombing of the tent city that we're seeing here? In recognizing that these people are just literally the most murderous, unrestrained, psychotic people the world has ever seen. It is a country full of them, and they will never stop. And this has been going on. This is the thing about, like, reading things like Rise and Kill First and just going back to the history. And it's like, wow, since 1905, for 116 years, the existence of Israel has been a permanent font of conflict, a permanent generator of murder, of endless strife and chaos and destruction and, you know, interminable international conflict forever, all just because you have a bunch of Eastern European Jewish communists who decide they want to take over the Middle East and think the only possible way to do it is by inventing terrorism. Like, we start off the coverage of the, you know, Eighth Front War in the Rise and Kill First book. And, you know, the people that founded Israel are like, Israel fell in fire and blood and it will rise in fire and blood. And it's like, you absolute demons, you devils, you satanic elves, you little monsters, you beasts in human form. What is wrong with you? And do you not understand that Israel, Judea, fell to the Romans in fire and sword as a punishment from God. But they're like, oh, well, if Israel went down in a bunch of fire and murder, maybe fire and murder is how we bring it back. It's like, yeah, maybe. Maybe, or maybe you just instigate a 115-year-long conflict that never even needed to happen because the Palestinians welcomed you there in the first place and the British created the mandate system to establish a state for you, and then you went on to kill all of them and continue the conflict and misery and chaos and murder and bombings and endless. It is an endless source of destruction, Israel. It has never been anything but that. Why are we so adherent to these psychopaths? Why are we endlessly subjugated to these monsters' bloodlust? What is wrong with us? Seriously, what is wrong with us? Every day, I could be showing you more and more of the most horrifying, disgusting videos you've ever seen. And every single time, it is the Israelis reveling in it, celebrating it, taking lawn chairs so they can watch the bombing, having boat tours so they can get an up-close personal view of the horror and misery and disease and starvation that they're causing. I mean, my God, we can go on and on, but like it's just the same thing over and over forever. It's just these are the most evil people that have ever existed in the history of the world, and they have a chokehold on us that we could break with ease, with simplicity, just saying no. But, of course, then they have their diaspora throughout our entire system forcing us into this slave-like relationship. When is enough going to be enough? When are we going to stop fighting their wars for them? When are we going to stop being their bitches? When are we going? I better stop there. But seriously, how long is this going to be the situation? How long are we going to have to suffer under this? What do we need to do? Honestly, what the hell do we do about this? Because literally every person I talk to in my life, every single person, I'm talking, God, I was talking about earlier, like everybody gets that Israel is evil. Everybody gets that they deserve total abject destruction, that their entire leadership class should be hung by the neck until dead, like the Nuremberg criminals. They're so much worse than the Nazis ever even were. Like, you can't even compare them. The Nazis look like brilliant angels compared to the Israelis. And it's been going on for 115 years. Maybe it's just because the Nazis didn't have that long to practice. Maybe they would have refined their strategy, but no, the Israelis, just endless murder, endless massacre, endless bombing, endless strife, endless chaos. And when America doesn't want to participate, they bomb America, they attack America, they rig 9/11, they hide the information about the barracks bombing in Beirut so that 200 of our Marines can get murdered. They are our enemy. When are we going to accept this? Just beyond infuriating. Let's go out to your calls before I say something too based and true. Let's go to Dean in Utah. Go ahead, Dean. You're on the air about Tyler Robinson. Go ahead.
Yeah, before I get to Tyler Robinson, I want to comment on the books. It goes back to the burning of the Library of Alexandria, to Orwell's Speak Right Machine, to Fahrenheit 451. And the best form of book burning is the computer, where they can just change history with a click or hide it.
100%. And of course, and this is, you know, Brave New World. They keep away the intellectual stuff from the regular people, but the world controllers, they know, they memorize Shakespeare, they memorize all that stuff. Fahrenheit 451, it wasn't even the government that forced you to burn your books. People chose to burn their books. They wanted to burn their books. They accept it and were willingly able to embrace a non-literate society. 1984, obviously, the memory hole, and to destroy a people, first you must destroy their history. This is a persistent theme in dystopian literature because there's something fundamentally true about it. So, yes, very good point, Dean. Go ahead.
Yeah, I collect books, and I've got thousands of dollars worth of books that they've virtually given away, you know.
Yep.
And a lot of them come from the libraries. So anyway, I'm very familiar with the court system here in Utah, because I've been wrongfully accused going back to the 90s, and I've fought these. I know the head prosecutor, David Sturgill, he represented me for about 5 seconds. Hmm. And I says, just go sit down. I'll take care of this myself.
So what do you think's going on? What do you think is really underlying what's happening?
Two things. It's a show trial, and it's to get publicity to his defense attorneys.
Hmm.
So there's been not one thing that's been presented, like you said, that's proved anything. And the story's changing. There's all kinds of stuff that's not making the news. Like they found an abandoned gun holster. And I was looking at this, and I've been talking to my son about it, my theory. Have you ever heard of the military exploding 5.56 rounds?
No, but I can understand this.
Yeah. Have the crew look it up. It's shot by drones, and you can 300 yards away or 300 meters away, 1.8 mile away, you can laser target to the exact head of a penny of Lincoln. And so yeah. This is why all these poor kids are being shot over there in Gaza. It's not good shot. It's the drones with these laser fired.
Well, and that's another aspect that I've never seen a good explanation for. There is video of what appears to be a very fast moving drone on the UVU campus while Charlie Kirk was talking. I've seen the video. It is very convincing. There's definitely something flying around there. And yet, in the hearings yesterday and today, they said there were absolutely no drones, and they reaffirmed that multiple times. So that's contradicted by video evidence. I don't know what to make of that. Thank you so much for the call, Dean. I do want to quickly go to Judy in Florida. We only have a minute left here, Judy, but I think I need your advice. How do I better express my aggression? Go ahead, Judy.
Well, yeah, I think what you need to do is find a local comedy club and just take a few news articles. And that, you know, the way you go off, I mean, you know, like you were doing Mitch McConnell earlier, and it's like, I know that, you know, like the irony and everything behind what you're saying, and you're just, you know, you're just hilarious.
Well,
there was a few minutes of when you were on NXM, or NXR, forgive
me. NXR, yeah.
You were, forgive me. When you were talking about the, you know, rise first and kill. And you were discussing, you know, just different instances where Jews just decided that people needed to die and die needlessly. But it was just your delivery.
If I can tell you about that and make you laugh while I do it, I think I'm doing something right, folks. I just I'd rather laugh than scream, and that's all I can do at this moment. Thank you.
We're extending America's 250th mega sale, the biggest in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. That means this Monday the 6th and Tuesday the 7th at midnight central, the biggest sales ever. Buy one, get one free. Up to 60% off the best-selling supplements, Patriot apparel, 50% off, and more. Take action now at the AlexJonesStore.com.
Have you noticed all the big universities and corporate media and governments around the world run down America all day? That's because the American system stands against their globalist system. And as the public figures that out, their corrupt, tyrannical, oppressive, communistic, anti-human death cult can't compete with what America stands for. And we stand in the shoes, on the shoulders of our forebears. Whether you're black, white, Hispanic, old, young, if you love liberty and freedom, and if you want to be free, and if you want to control your own destiny, and you believe in meritocracy, then America is for you. It's under attack because the idea of it stands in the way of the enemy. And America is a dream. Just like a dream to get married or a dream to start a business or a dream to write a poem or write a song. And when you do that, those dreams come true. But we have to breathe life into those dreams. They want to kill those dreams. Don't let them break your will. Be proud to be an American and know people around the world still love America and understand it's the globalists that have hijacked us. And we're in the process of taking our country back from the Chi-Coms and the Israel lobby and the globalists and Hollywood and the left and all of them. And that's why it's so important to support the next leg in the info war at AlexJonesLive.com. And, of course, at the AlexJonesStore.com with the widest selection of Patriot apparel, the best supplements, collectible knives. the best water filtration, and more that will empower and enrich your life while keeping this beacon of truth on the air as we accelerate into the future and as the Great Awakening prepares the final defeats of the globalists and their Great Reset. I salute you all. This is 1776 2.0. We're unstoppable together. God bless you all. Take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.